Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Expressway. It's another week and another show, BT. We got a lot going on this week. We got NFL owners meetings. We got Lamar Jackson's going crazy again, representing himself, being his own agent. And I think it's really going nowhere. We got Aaron Rodgers, still not a Jet, and if he'll ever be a Jet. And we also got to look at the offensive lineman this week for the NFL draft for the Giants, and a position near and dear to our hearts, the best running backs in this year's NFL draft, as well as what would a BT, the Expressway, would be without talking about the NBA and that MVP race, as well as the outlook on the playoffs. But let's talk about the NFL owners meeting. A lot is going on. John Mara talked about, would love to have OBJ back in the fold. You got Woody Johnson saying, what is going on in the world today? The Jets have players dying to play for them and would be happy if OBJ were to play for the Jets. I mean, OBJ is now the next coming of Elvis Presley. Like, everybody wants him. Where did he go? Where did he go? And I'm excited, but I just don't know if OBJ still has what we need from a Giants or Jets standpoint. What do you think?
Well, the thing that makes me kind of mad, Charles, is that when he was here, I've probably seen every game just like you did. He played. Now, he acted like a fool in the very beginning. He really did. I mean, he even got to me, and it's hard to get to me. He's on the sideline being a diva. He's, you know, messing with the kicker's net, being a diva, talking about he wanted to marry it. And see, I was hoping that he would mature over the years. So when they signed into that big contract, It was a shock that the Giants took the hit on that under the salary cap. And, you know, the reason they did that is because his character was lacking. And they say, well, he's improved over the years. But I remember probably just 2 or 3 years ago, he was on the sideline at LSU passing $100 bills. And I was trying to figure, what kind of guy do you want? And the Giants have always been about character. You know that. And when John Mara said that, that kind of shocked me because, you know, he's voted against players because of a lack of character. And I don't know if OBJ is ready. I mean, he had the second serious knee injury he's had. He's missed part of 3 seasons. And what guarantee you have on that? So it's a tough one for me in lieu of his past.
Right. But they did say he had a great workout when he had, personnel guys and coaches there at his workout in California. The reason why I'm probably against it is because you got a lot of the same guys, because you got Sterling Shepard coming back from an injury. You got
Darius Slayton
Robinson coming back from an injury. You got all of these guys coming back from an injury, and you add Odell Beckham coming back from an injury. Those guys don't play every game. And so you're going to be back to where you were last year if you sign somebody like that and you don't have anybody that's truly healthy, truly a big playmaker on the field again. And we're going to be saying, blaming Daniel Jones for not making plays because there aren't any receivers that can get open. So I think from a Giants standpoint, I don't know if it's the right fit or the situation to bring in somebody like OBJ. For the Jets, on the other hand, if he's okay with being a third or fourth receiver, I think he fits in very well with the Jets because they got some talented –
yes, they do.
A talented group of skilled guys on that team. And if he can accept the role that he could play on that team, I think he would be an excellent addition for the Jets.
Well, what surprises me is for someone to not have played since last year's Super Bowl and have coming off his second major surgery, he would have come back sooner, CW, if he had been at 100%. But when he went around and talked about going to the Cowboys or the Giants, he he probably wasn't 90%. Why would you want a receiver out there that's not 100%? Because we like, and I love what you said about, you know, the other receivers coming back from injuries. You got too many people coming back from injuries, but they did sign a couple, a wide receiver that was on the Buffalo squad last year. I think his name is Jameson Crower. And they say he was really, really good on the Buffalo squad, but kind of had an off year last year. So the Giants signed him. They're signing a lot of receivers, Charles. So they're going to take care of business at wide receiver somehow, some way. And this is way before the draft, and they've got a lot of – and this is a couple good ones in the draft, and we'll be talking about them down the line also. But I just think Odell Beckham is not the answer. That's just me, and I'm trying not to be prejudiced.
Yeah, and look, I love Odell. He's always been good to me. We had a great relationship before I went on to move, went to the NFL. But I think like I said, I love OBJ. It would be nice to see him in the red, white, and blue again. But unfortunately, based on where the Giants are at this present time, I just don't think he's a great fit. I think he would be a tremendous fit for the Jets because he would fit in just like he fit in for the Rams. He wasn't their main receiver with the Rams.
Yep.
And so when, because Cooper Kupp was their main receiver for the Rams. And I think if he can fill a role, especially his veteran leadership, because he is older, I think he's become more mature. I think he could provide a great presence in that locker room.
And I agree with you, but he's got to make sure that he's under scrutiny too, because the Jets got a young squad. They got a lot of guys under 26 years of age. So he'd be a veteran presence in there. And if he could show his maturity, he could really help out their squad. And then if they get Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that might be something that we may have to turn our other games off to watch that game, because they're going to be so exciting. And I don't understand what the holdup is, because I think, and just I'm just guessing, and you being involved with the NFL a lot, Charles Way, you know, I think that the Green Bay Packers are asking too much from the Jets. They want multiple first round draft choice, which the reason I wouldn't give it is because you don't know if he's going to be there 1 or 2 years. At the maximum, he'll be there 3 years. And so you lose money on that end. On the other side, he has got to be a teammate. You know, football is about team game. It's not about individuals. And if he can understand that concept, then I think Rodgers will really be a big help. But the longer you go, it seems like the worse it gets, because you got many camps starting pretty soon. You got the draft next month. And so I think you got to get that straightened out with the quarterback situation. And I think the Jets will, but the owner, Woody, he really wants to get Rodgers. And I think he's putting all his eggs in one basket. And I don't know if you can do that in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think the reason why their backs up are against the wall is because what other quarterbacks out there are worthy of coming in and ensuring a potential playoff berth, right? The only quarterback out there, there are only two quarterbacks out there that are available, Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers, that you can say if they came on to my football team today, we have a chance of going to the playoffs. And so when you look at it that way, I think from a Jets standpoint, that's why they're trying to put all their eggs in one basket, of Aaron Rodgers' basket. I still think, and I think they believe that the Green Bay Packers are asking for too much. They don't have any leverage. Everybody knows he's not coming back to the Green Bay Packers. So the leverage that Green Bay has is if the draft comes around and he's not moved, then their leverage, they don't have any leverage at all. Because now they lose draft picks they would have gotten. Even if they swap first round for draft picks, they got a better draft pick than they would have gotten this year. Even if they can do a conditional second and third round pick, the reason why the Jets got the extra second round pick is to sweeten the pot for the Green Bay Packers. Look, let's switch ones. Let me give you one of my second round picks. And conditionally, if Aaron Rodgers gets us to the playoffs, I'll give you a third round pick. And I'll throw in a second round pick if he plays another year. Like you said, he is not guaranteeing that he's going to play two more years. But if he does, I'll reward you and I'll give you a conditional pick. If he leaves, you give me back my pick. What do you think about that?
Well, I totally agree with you. And I think maybe you should be a general manager, Charles, but, you know, because it's easy to play on Monday morning. But
right.
I just think that, you know, they're taking a chance, which is you're supposed to do. I believe that they're one player away from being in the playoffs. and that person is the quarterback. And I was trying to think earlier, would you get, if Rodgers doesn't come, would you get somebody to manage the quarterback position where he just is conservative, you don't take the chances, you play the percentages of your defense field position? Then I think you got a chance for the playoffs. You just don't need negative play like they had last couple of years from the Jets. If you get any kind of positive play, don't turn the ball over, you got a chance.
You do, and that's why, and another, I mean, that kind of brings us to the Lamar Jackson situation. He comes out this week saying that he had requested a trade almost a month ago before they even franchised him. And so when you look at Lamar Jackson, I think his whole campaign for asking for a fully guaranteed contract is going up in flames, because not one team has even made him an offer to sign with them. And that's because he's asking for too much. And I think that's where you get into a lot of trouble. And now I think he's going to spite himself, because his pride is probably going to get in the way of it. And he's not going to go after an agent. It's crazy right now. And I think that if he doesn't come around to his senses, he may not even play this season.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Well, see, you got to be ignorant, Charles Wade, to turn down $50 million guaranteed money in the NFL. I don't care if you got X amount of millions in the bank. Turning down $50 million, this point in your career, you got some ignorant parts of your body that are just not showing. I just think, and then Lamar Jackson, and we're getting ready to go to a break in a minute, Charles, but Lamar Jackson, I was thinking, what's wrong with him? I first thought it was okay, but then as I know the NFL, as I know, when you go in to do a contract, you need someone who can take what they say against you, because you can't really take it and tell you, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. He goes in with his mom, and they're just asking for what they can. You don't have someone who knows the inside and outside of being an agent, and you never want to get to this point. Now they're talking about him the last 2 years missing the games at the end of the season, which deems him totally unavailable. And I don't think you could do that in a quarterback position, because, Eli here, he kind of set the bar. 200-some games started, not missing a start. And then so I just think that Lamar Jackson made a mistake. He can still amend it, but he's not getting what he thought he was going to get. And maybe he overrated himself, because he hadn't gone to the AFC Championship yet. He just got into the playoffs and then last 2 years missed the last five games of the season. And I don't like that from a quarterback position, because that's when you need your quarterback at the most.
You're absolutely right. I can't wait to see what happens with that. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Wade. We will be right back and take a look at the offensive lineman of this year's 2023 NFL Draft. And welcome back to The Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me The Way here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Teller. You are listening to The Expressway. This is The Expressway because it's the BT Express and Show Me The Way. Great, great, great way to travel throughout your week and kind of get inside scoop on the world of sports. But now we're going to focus on the 2023 draft, and we're going to focus on offensive linemen that the Giants will have a potential of picking. And obviously, they're solidified at the tackle position. So I wanted to focus on the guard position. Our first guard is Jackson Kirkland from the University of Washington, who is a guard, big guy, has good feet, can move around. I think he's just maybe a little raw, but I think he's probably one of the best offensive linemen, especially guard position, because you look at it, we lost those two kids, Feliciano, who was a veteran leadership guy, and he's not coming back. So We lost a couple of guys through free agents, and I think this would be a great young guy to bring in that could really solidify not only the run game, but the passing game. We need somebody that can come in and solidify the interior, because you could see that a lot of these D tackles were just bull rushing the offensive, the center and the guard last year. And I think we need to solidify that position first.
I totally agree, because I agree with the tackles position being not a concern going in. And I definitely thought the Giants would have to get somebody at the offensive guard position. I think the kid you're talking about, when I watched him one time, he had quick feet. And so I think a keto to an offensive lineman is quick feet. Even when I talk to kids who play offensive line, Charles, I'll tell them, go to dance class. You know, get your footwork together. And when I played with the Raiders, and that was my fifth or sixth year in the NFL, he sent all the big guys. It was Gene Upshaw and Art Shell and those big guys. And the Raiders are the first team to have everybody over 300 pounds. First team in the NFL to do that and send all of them to dance class. And it was funny to watch them dance when they came to practice, because if you think about it, you had quick feet, then you cannot get beat on some of most of the plays. So I think if I was an offensive lineman, especially this day and age, I would work on my footwork just like a running back does, running the rope with the drills he does and stuff like that. And if he continues to improve, you know, but I don't think he's going to be around when the Giants pick at 25. But, you know, the similarity is exactly what the Giants need.
Absolutely. And like I said, with his quick feet and his dominance in the run game, and obviously college football has gone to more of that RPO type of action where it's a run play action option. And you got to have quick feet on that. You got to be able to adjust to the quicker D tackles, but also stand up to the stout D linemen so you don't get killed in a passing game and just bull rush. And at the center position and the guard position, for that matter, you need to have good feet. The next guy is a guy that transferred from the University of Virginia, Oluwatimi. He's a guard, went to Michigan. He was probably one of the better linemen at the University of Michigan. He kind of came in and kind of solidified that offensive line at the center position, right? And I don't know how good of a pass protector he is. He does have good feet. He does move, but you can see that he gets pushed back a little bit. I don't know if he's very stout in there in the pass game. So I kind of worry about him in the passing game.
And so you got to be able to pass rush in the NFL, because they're doing that 75% of the time. Most teams don't rely on the run as much as they used to. The running back is not the main focus as it should be. And we've talked about that for days. But I think that the offensive lineman cannot get overrun by anybody. I think you got to be strong as heck to play guard, and you got to be able to take on people. The hardest thing, I think, for the NFL is pass block. I think run block is probably, you know, the simplest thing they do. But just being able to be in cahoots with everybody on your team, everybody being on the same page at the same time, that's the key for being an offensive lineman. And I think the Giants realize that. What I love about the Giants is that they are really addressing all their needs. You know, last year they kind of went in there with a blind eye, but this year we know what they need and they're going about it, and we haven't even got to the draft yet. So I'm excited that Dable definitely and the general manager know what they're doing.
It's definitely exciting, because if you see the plan, it's already in place. You got two.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Hopefully, cornerstone tackle that'll be around for at least 8 to 10 years, right?
Yep.
Both of them are fairly young, so you got some longevity. So hopefully you'll never have to worry about the offensive tackle position. If you can bring in a young kid that can stay in the league like a Sean O'Hara and probably better, that can stay in the league for another 10 years, right? And then sign another guard that you can keep around for 10 more years. Man, you don't ever have to worry about your offensive line, ever, because you have guys that'll be around for a long time. It'll create some cohesion. Your quarterback will have confidence in the pocket. And just like those two Super Bowl wins when we had the no-name offensive line. We didn't have, I don't even know if we had a first-round pick when we went to the Super Bowl in the offensive line, on the offensive line.
There were no All-Pros.
Right.
They didn't have any All-Pros. We need some All-Pros at the offensive line position for the Giants to be successful. Somebody come in there being a big stud, talking trash. You know, and the thing about it is that one of my best moments ever, probably Charles Way, in the NFL, I was playing with the Raiders. I was in the backfield, and they had a offensive lineman, and they called him Killer. And I always wonder why they call him Killer. And I'm lined up, and they had me a fullback. I'm a halfback, but Marcus Allen was playing a halfback. They had me a fullback. And the offensive lineman is talking to the defensive line, telling them where we're going. And I'm trying to figure, how can they do that? But then he ran over the guy, got a pancake block, and went down and got the safety, and Marcus Allen scored. I like those kind of offensive linemen. They'll tell you what they're doing, and then they go do it. There's not many around there in the whole league who could do that. So I think the offensive line. Oh, and another thing, quickly, Charles, the past Giant regime before they hired the last general manager, I go back to Eli. They needed an offensive line 5 or 6 years ago. And they went out and got this guy Flowers, who I thought was a bust. And a lot of the decisions they made, and that's why one of the general managers, I think it was Jerry Reese, got fired because of that. And I thought, if you get an offensive line, and you know from a running back yourself, from RB to RB, you get an offensive line, you're set. Because you can bring people in and out. Quarterback's got time to throw. So I just think this is an important draft for the Giants because they can make their team even better because they got to compete against the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guys we're looking at aren't really you don't get nowadays, unless you're an extreme talent, you're not going to pick a center or a guard in the first round. These guys come second, third round pick, or even fourth round pick. And so that's why we're talking about these guys. Our next guy is Steve Avila from TCU. He's a guard, mostly guard, but could possibly move over to center. Big dude. I'm talking about this dude is big. And you're talking about a road grader. This is one of those hog mollies, as your boy Dave Edelman used to say. This dude is really big. He may not be able to move as well as everybody else, but you're talking about somebody that's stout in the pass game that'll take on a tackle. This is the dude.
Well, I like the thought process that they put into it from a New York Giants standpoint, and I think that if they can get this draft right with the free agents, their offense could even be better than last year because, you know, they probably played with more, not really talent, but kind of togetherness. And if you get talent in there, that brings your team to a new level. So that's why I'm excited about it. And I've always thought, you know, you can get offensive linemen whenever you want to, but you need to get somebody that can be there and be a mainstay. So that's why I think this pick is so important.
And just watching the tape, watching this guy on tape, and how he just sticks out his arms. He got these arms that you don't. he puts his hands on you, you don't move, and that's what's exciting about an offensive lineman like Avila is, like, when he gets you his hands on you, you don't move, and you like that. And so when you're going up against that tremendous defensive line for the Eagles, the defensive line for the Cowboys that you got to go up against twice a year, and then don't forget the Redskins, right, who move around, Chad Brown and those guys over you. And if, like I said, you get a guy like that that can solidify, that can at least protect Daniel Jones, give him some time or make holes for Saquon Barkley, you got a chance to be very effective. And like you said, it's time to create that cohesion. Keep guys that are young that'll be around for years. I think that's why they may have been when Coughlin went to when we went to the Super Bowl those 2 years and won, they were no names, but those guys have been around together for 6-7 years. And so they developed some camaraderie and they knew what to expect from one another game in and game out. So that was exciting. Our next guy is from Ohio State, Luke Weipler. He's a center from Ohio State. Same guy, quick feet, not very big. And Sean O'Hara is probably your prototypical guy who wasn't very big, had good feet, can stay in front of you, but he was susceptible to the bull rush. And I think this is the same type of guy. Good feet, can command the leadership position, can move everybody around, knows what he's doing, knows where everybody has to go, can be that director and coordinator. I'm just concerned that going up against, like I said, the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles and the Redskins and those big D linemen, I don't know if he'll hold up.
Yeah, the thing about it is, as you were talking about Sean O'Hare, I go back to Bart Oates. And Bart Oates was a small center. He was very good at what he did, but he got bull rushed. And I think that hurt. That puts too much trouble on a quarterback who steps up in the middle to throw the ball out of the pocket. So I believe that the center's got to be at least close to 300 pounds, because I think Bart was only about 260. I've seen a few guys that were under 280. A couple of them held their own, but the main thing is that you can bull rush him and still get to the quarterback, and that takes away a lot of the quarterback's sight ability, because he's watching up the middle as the defensive nose guard beats the offensive center really quickly. So it's one of those things. I'd rather Charles. And why do you think these guys? How do they get so big? I mean, you're talking 350 is a normal thing, you know? Because what the hell are these guys eating? How do they get that big, Charles?
But you know, I like it, but you got to be able to move too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Especially now that defense are moving around a lot. They're doing a lot of games, and they're a lot faster than they were back when we played, right? And so they're not going to be standing in front of you trying to run you over every time. They're going to be trying to go through the gaps, trying to swim you, and you got to have quick enough feet to be able to do that. So that's why I think the kid that was there last year, I forget the draft pick that was there that Dave Gettleman picked. I forget his name. He was having a tough time. Big guy, could do well against the run, but couldn't move his feet, and he was struggling against the pass. And so when you look at this next kid, Osiris Torrance, he reminds me of that same kid that, I mean, run game, if he gets his hands on you, if he gets in front of you, he'll do a great job. But when you see him in the pass game, he has a tough time staying in front of people and can get beat by the quicker, smaller defensive lineman. It's Osiris.
Charles, they say that he's got a combination of ridiculous strength and technique. And I think one of the biggest things that people need to learn is the proper technique on how to do things. And if he can come in here willing to learn, they say that he may be one of the best prospects at offensive guard that they've had in this year's draft. He raised over 355. That's okay for an offensive guard. You say he can move. And the thing about it, if I was a coach or a scout, I would look at nothing but his feet. If he can't move his feet, he don't need to be on the offensive line. Right. And as simple as that. So that's why I would judge them by that way. So I'm anxious to see, because, you know, Cyrus Torrance, he looks like a stud. You know, when the guys come in nowadays, they're not big, fat offensive linemen like they used to be. These guys are looking like wrestlers, trained, muscles sticking out. I was blown away by the Giants offense and how good they looked, because some of them, you know, could be a power forward in the NBA, you know, because these guys, I mean, the way that they work out and look, these guys look like studs. There's no big, fat offensive linemen like they used to have. These guys are outstandingly in shape, and they bring in game every time they come out.
That's right. And the way the game is changing, right? We talk about it week in and week out. It's not that typical pro set style offense where you're going to line up with two tight ends, one back, or two running backs and one tight end. It's three receivers, four receivers, and one back. And you have no help. And it's just that those five offensive linemen just figuring out who we get. And you got to be able to move your feet, because the game is being played a lot faster. And if you can't move your feet, like you said, I think this game is kind of left you around. So remember, we talk about those phone booth linemen where you get in front of them, they're going to run you right down 100 yards down the field. The game isn't played like that anymore, because the D linemen that today are a lot quicker and a lot faster. So they're not going to stand in front of you to let them put your hands on you, because they know that at 355 pounds, if you get your hands on somebody, you don't move. And so you got to understand that the game is changing. And so I think this should be a focus. Outside of linebacker and receiver, the interior offensive line position has to be a focus for the Giants.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bet and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I've always believed that because I believe if I was starting a team and I was a general manager, I would get my offense and defensive lines together so that whoever I brought in has a chance to do something. Are you listening to The Expressway? Billy Taylor and Charles Way, we're on each and every week talking the world of sports. We do it in four quarters. The first quarter, we usually talk about the Jets or the Giants, and that's what we're doing. This second quarter, we've been talking about some of the offensive linemen. And coming up in the third quarter, we're going to talk some more about things that happen around the NFL. And don't forget our fourth quarter, we're going to talk NBA hoops and see who's hot, who's not, who's our MVP on that. Now, Charles, one more question for you. Would you wait, if you were the Giants, to later in the rounds to pick up your offensive lineman, or would you try to stay at 25 or move up to get somebody that is in the top 10 of these offensive linemen we talked about? The thing about it, there's no guarantee that they're going to fit in. You have to wait until your system. But the great thing about the Giants coaching staff is they know the type of system they have and who fits where. And that's what I love about them.
Yeah, I think the interior lineman position, unless he's a stud, and at 25, which I don't think those studs, if they're good enough, especially at offensive guard or center, they're going in the top 15 picks. I think this, you can find some good ones in the second and third round. The guys we talked about, you'll be able to find second, third, fourth round guys that'll be there, and that'll add some depth to your offensive line position. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express and Charles Way. We'll be right back in a moment. And we're back with The Expressway. We just got finished talking about potential offensive line picks for the Giants. Our next group may not be a glaring need, but it's a need that is dear. It's close to us, is running back position, especially since Saquon Barkley really doesn't have a backup behind him right now. So it would be a position probably in the later rounds to pick. We're going to look at some of the better running backs that may not be around for when the Giants are going to be actually looking to draft a running back. But I needed to talk about this guy just because this dude was electric all year long. And that's Bijan Robinson from Texas. This dude was, I can't put him in Marshall Faulk's category just yet, because when Marshall Faulk came out and like when Barry Sanders came out, you wanted to see this guy play all the time, because every time he touched the ball, I don't know if he's like that, but he was darn near close because he made things happen for Texas.
Well, see, what I liked about him when I watched him a couple of times, his ability to catch the ball. And I love running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. And they say he could even play wide receiver a little bit if he has. Now, running back is instinctive, and he's got great instincts. When to cut, he doesn't take the hit. And I want a running back that I see watching college, and he takes a hit head on, I think that something's wrong with him, because it's the running back fault. If you're one-on-one, you should not be hit head-on or get a perfect tackle and lay you back. So he's one of those running backs, it's hard to get a good hit on him. And the thing about it, you just got to grab a leg and hold on and wait for somebody else to come. But I totally agree with you. I think that because of his ability to catch the ball, his speed, his quickness, he won't be around for the Giants. But I think someone's going to get a running back because of his potential.
And I think that's where teams are becoming more innovative and seeing how can I get my running back involved in the passing game instead of just the run game? Because if you can do a quick screen, it's almost like the way they use Deebo Samuels, right?
Yep.
In San Francisco, he's all over the field. In the backfield, he's running the ball in the backfield. He's doing those little counter plays. He's doing the screen pass. He's all over the place. And I think if you can find a back that can add that extra dimension to your team, you just become a more explosive offense.
Well, that's why the 49ers, like you said, are going to be good, because they got Christian McCaffrey. They got a great set of receivers. And if they can put their quarterback situation together, they could be in multiple Super Bowls. But see, I like, and you said it, you know, running back, they can do a lot of things. And we, you know, we got on earlier in the year, but I'm so upset with people for not thinking the running back is not worth it. Look what they're talking about, a dual threat, sometimes a triple threat. And to be able to do that, why don't they pay him like a triple threat? And they just kind of downplay it, I think. So the people at the top will make the decisions. Maybe they'll say, well, we'll get a running back in later rounds. But I think Bijan Robinson, I think he's going in the first round.
Absolutely. And I think the reason is the guy that probably is that prototypical dual threat is Christian McCaffrey, right? Yep. I mean, he does it all. They want him to go out for passes. He's like the best safety valve for a quarterback
yep.
that you could ever have, because once you give him the ball, no matter if it's 2, 3, 4 yards down the field, he's going to make a play and make something happen. And he's an exciting player. And I just don't know if every team has somebody like that. And because they use him so much, he can't stay healthy. The man is what? A buck 90, 200 yep. pounds. He's not that thick. So he takes a beating. And so I think that's another reason why teams don't look at or value that position as much. A, because they don't stay healthy. And B, a lot of these backups, i.e. what they did with Zeke Elliott, a lot of the backups are playing better than the starter that they're paying a lot of money. So, you know, they start seeing money disappear and they know they can't, because they got to pay $50 million for their star quarterback nowadays. You know, there's not a lot of money to go around, and I just don't think they value that position just as much. The next guy we're going to talk about is Jahmyr Gibbs from Auburn. This is another guy that more quicker than big, but he kind of helped. Alabama. He kind of helped Alabama, right? I think you put him in the Bijan category, but I think he was more of a playmaker than Bijan. He had more of a quickness to him than Bijan Robinson.
Well, this guy has lightning quick feet, which I love. That means you're not going to hit him head on. You're going to get a piece of him at the most. I think that he can catch the ball, which I think is very important. And I think he played in a great program at Alabama. And for that all alone, he should be drafted at least in the first couple rounds.
Absolutely. This dude was their team. Like outside of the receivers that they had, this guy was their big playmaker. And yep. especially in the playoffs, I mean, he was making things happen. And so I like this kid. I know he won't be around for the Giants when they pick, but this kid can really do like that hybrid type of running back, where if you needed to set him up off the line of scrimmage or out and line him up as a wide receiver, he could do that as well. This next guy, I mean, when he went down, Michigan was over, done. Blake Corum. I mean, he was there. You talk about a running back. Now, this is the one guy that if you're going to show why a running back is so important to a team, this is the reason. This guy is the reason why, because when he went down and got hurt, that was the year. That was their year.
Well, see, the thing about it is that you and I are both over 6 feet tall. And I do think there's a difference when you're smaller, because this guy is only about 5'8", but he's a stocky 200 pounds. The problem is that, you know, is he big enough to get past people and stuff like that? The thing about him is that he can hide in the backfield. When you run a draw or a screen, he can get real low and people won't even be able to see him. And that's, I think, the advantage he has of being short. I definitely agree with you. He hurt Michigan last year when he went down, because Michigan was rolling. They beat Ohio State. They beat some really good teams last year, went to the bowl game. And I just think that because of the loss of a great running back like him, it hurt Michigan. And that's what shows me that you should pay running backs at the very beginning, because the career is not very long. And when they're in there in the first few years, they're all productive. So pay the man.
So, but do you worry that because of how big he is, he's really small. Do you worry that, you know, it's like one of those video games. I'm going to wear him out until he breaks, right? Because he's so quick, so explosive, does so many good things for your team. But if you play him too many plays, he won't last very long, and you won't have him for the entire season. So for a guy like that, I worry about wanting to overplay him, because he does so many good things for your team.
And I totally agree with you, and I think it's up to the coaching staff, because I think we talked earlier in the year when Saquon Barkley got 35 carries in one game. That was the most he had in his career, and then the next game he kind of didn't show up. And the reason I don't blame him for it is because you take a beating like that, it might take a couple of weeks for you to bring your stuff back to normal. Because, you know, and then that's when the running backs earn his money. And I don't see running backs do that anymore, except for Derrick Henry, in Tennessee. So I don't know. I think the Giants scouting staff, they got to figure out some way to bring a backup running back to Saquon Barkley and not to kill Barkley, because he's going into, I think it's 6 years. Is that right?
That's right.
And he had 1,300 yards last year. And I think he's pretty close to Chris McCaffrey. I don't know totally, because McCaffrey seems like he is really good at breaking tackles, but I think Saquon's up there though.
I think Saquon is getting too big, especially if you watch some of his college tape. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look as a receiver. He seemed to me when he was at Penn State, he was more of a dynamic wide receiver, right?
Yep.
And he was explosive. And now, maybe because of the injuries and all of the leg injuries he's had, he doesn't look that quick and explosive as the receiver that I thought he was when I was watching him at Penn State. So that kind of worries me a little bit. I think Christian McCaffrey is in kind of in a place by himself, because he is, I mean, he does it all. That dude, let me just tell you something. When he came out, I had him as the number. I was doing everything in my mock drafts to get him if I was a Giant, because I thought he was going to be the answer to all of our dreams, which he has proven that if he can stay on the field long enough, he is the answer to all of your dreams, because he makes things happen all over the field. And that's why San Francisco has become dynamic. We got two more guys that we got to get through before this segment is over. The next guy is Tank Bigsby. Just like his nickname, Tank, is this dude is a tank. This dude, it's hard to take down. Quick, stocky, short dude that makes plays. And I think you're starting to get a feel for a common theme running through a lot of these running backs. What happened to the 6'2", 6'3", 230, 235 running back? Like, I mean, all these dudes are short, stocky, yep, and are like bowling balls. I mean, what's going on?
Well, I just think, you know, we're seeing a change, mm-hmm, because people want a smaller running back with better quickness, being able to hide in there so he can do screens and draws. But I like Tank. My only problem was that, they didn't have a good season. But what I like in a running back, Charles, and you know it too, say a running back is running a sweep to the right, to be able to use your right foot to cut off and accelerate, that's what he does. And there's not many people who can do that. They call it planting your foot and then accelerating through the hole. If you go to the left side, you got to do it with your left foot. Go to the right side, because what I used to do was try to push off of my right foot to get more speed. And I like running backs to do that. I don't like a running back to round the ball into the hole, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And I think he's a guy that, I mean, I don't think he's in the same category as the three we just talked about, but he's probably in that next category that, if given a chance, that he could be that second guy on a team,
yep,
that kind of can come in and relieve your starting running back. And this would be a guy that maybe in that fourth or fifth round, if he's there, I think is a guy that is worth picking up. This next guy that we're going to talk about is from your alma mater, Texas. No, you went to Texas Tech. This is Texas.
Yeah, I went to Texas Tech.
The Aggie.
This same is the conference.
Aggie. This is the Aggie. So Devon and Shane, another guy, same category, small guy, another guy, late round pick. But I think if I'm a GM, I'm looking for guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. Somebody like this guy that I know can make a play, big playmaker, quick, fast, quick feet. Somebody that can play all over the field, special teams, all over the field, that he doesn't take up a roster spot because he can't play special teams. And this is a guy that I think will add something to your special team.
And the reason I think he can do a good job at the special teams, he got lightning speed mm-hmm, kills and anything. And I want to see what he does, because, he's totally a speedster. He doesn't have great hip movement, but He can take the ball anytime on the field and score.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We will be right back in a moment to talk about the NBA and who's the new leader, if there is one, in the MVP race. We'll be right back. The Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way. I'm here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we have just gone through three amazing quarters talking about our Jets, Giants, and the upcoming draft and see who potential offensive linemen and running backs are out there that you may like or the Giants or Jets may have a chance to pick when their time comes. Now, this is a special segment for Billy and I. We both are NBA fans, and we love talking about the NBA and the world of NBA. The topic that we've been debating the most is the MVP race, right? It keeps jostling. You know, Jokic has won the last 2 years, and they both wins have been debatable. Everybody is saying Joel Embiid should have won both years. What are the metrics that people are using? Is it an offensive metric? Is it a defensive metric? Is it a mixture of both? Can I just say, when they picked them last year, it's definitely not defense, because
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Jokic does not play defense at all. His defensive rating should be minus 100. I mean, you got small guys taking it to his chest, and the dude is 7 foot and can't play defense. Where he looked like he's like the opiate, just hanging out on the defensive end of the ball, saying, "Hey, I'm just big, hanging out in here. Don't come in." And so I just don't see how this man has won the MVP 2 years in a row. He has great offensive statistics, but isn't the game of basketball two ends of the court?
No, you're exactly right, and I totally agree with you because I watched him play defense. He doesn't have any leaping ability. You can pull a rug under his feet because you can pull it out because he can't get up more than an inch. But I'm going with Joe Embiid, your guy from Philadelphia. The last 3 years, they talked about him being kind of snubbed for the MVP, and I see the reason, because he is maturing. Before, he wasn't really a mature guy. He his action on the court didn't support the MVP. This year is the best that anybody's ever played. He had a streak of 30 games where he scored 30 points and had a double figures in rebounds. He's playing defense. He's running the court. He's getting everybody involved. And if it wasn't for the Sixers getting rid of some of their people, I would think they had a chance for the title. But James Harden is playing better because of it, so they still got a chance. And I just think that that he's the MVP this year.
No, that's great, and I agree with you. But where does Giannis even play a role in this? Think about it. The Bucks have the best record in the NBA. They have an amazing team. And so where does Giannis fit in? Because if you're talking about how impactful he is to your team, Giannis is probably – just as impactful to his team as Jokic and Embiid is to their team.
Well, they just clinched the playoff berth last night. As you said, the Bucks have the best record in the NBA. I think Giannis is probably, if we're talking truthfully, he's the best player in the NBA. I think that he's improved his game every year. Listen to you, gave me that look. I think he's improved every year. He's his rebounding has gotten better. His defense has gotten better. And he continues to shoot the three better than he ever has. I like him as a person. I like the way he handles himself. And maybe I'm a little bit prejudiced because Joel Embiid sometimes shows me a maturity level. And the thing about it, Joel Embiid is 7 feet, one into something. And he has like a little boy, a little crazy kid sometimes. When you're 7 feet, I think you got to be cool because people are looking at you too much. and they're probably judging you more than anything else. So that, but I give it to Embiid this year. But Giannis, now tell me why you don't think he's the MVP.
So I don't like Giannis's game. I think he has that Jordan intensity, that Kobe intensity,
yep,
that Embiid, and so that's the one thing Embiid doesn't have. I think he is starting to show it. But as far as a skill, from a skill set standpoint, it's, I don't know if Giannis is at the same level from an offensive skill set as Jokic or Embiid, because both of those guys have an offensive skill set that goes well beyond what Giannis could do. I don't think Giannis can do everything Joel and Jokic can do. I think Joel can do what both Giannis on a good day, when his mind is right, on a good day, Embiid can do what Jokic can do and with what Giannis can do. I think Jokic is a better passer and has a better feel for the game than Embiid, but everything else on the offensive end, I think from a move standpoint, skill standpoint, Embiid has a better skill set on the offensive end as far as a score. I don't think Jokic is a score.
We're going to have to argue on this with Charles, because I see Giannis, he got one thing they don't have, which is a ring. They won the championship. They definitely won the championship. Beat the Nets and Kevin Garnett way before they went on to win the championship. And I just think he's like a stud running the court. I like somebody that athletic running the court. And Joel Embiid has that too. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to exclude him on anything, but I've seen Giannis improve every single year, worked on his foul shooting, his three-point shooting. I just think they had a good team, and they got to be at least one of the favorites to represent the East in the NBA championship. But Joel Embiid has a chance to knock that off, but he's got to get other players involved except for him and James Harden.
You're absolutely right. Like I said, I think if we look at the standings for the Eastern and Western Conference, you can see how close everybody is. I think the Western Conference is a little bit closer from the standings. They said that from 3 to 12, they're separated by like 3 or 4 games. And so in the Western Conference, you're playing for your playoff life every night for the next 2 weeks. And so when you look at that and you look at that dynamic, I would hate to be in the West, because if I go on a 3-game losing streak, I may have to play in a play-in game.
I have always liked the West because of the talent level they have. I mean, East is coming up, don't get me wrong, but the West has a lot of great talent in there. I am shocked by the Nuggets being in first place. But then again, they got their point guard back, who had been out with a knee injury last season. Memphis Grizzlies are playing well. The thing that I'm worried about is the Warriors. You know, they keep going down. And see, the thing about them, they're the defending champions, and they're 6 on the list. Lakers are up to number 9. If they can keep winning, then they could get up in the top 5, 6. If they do that, it's going to make for an exciting playoffs for all the NBA fans.
So think about this. Would you want to be the first or second seed in the Western Conference, knowing that you got to play the Lakers or the Golden State Warriors in the first round? I would rather be 3 and 4 and not have to worry about it. Like Phoenix is in a great position. They get Kevin Garnett back right on time, and they play Sacramento or Minnesota, right? Or the Clippers. Right, Clippers aren't doing anything spectacular. I think Russell Westbrook is a better fit at the Clippers than he was with the Lakers, but they haven't shown me anything. I think that would be a good matchup. I think the Western Conference may have some great first round games, because think about it, you can have Denver playing the Golden State Warriors, and you could have Memphis playing the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round.
Well, either way, it's going to be exciting, because that's what NBA action is all about, and that's why I love it so much, because I don't think the Nuggets can win it. I don't think they can win the championship. I still can't count out the Clippers because they got Kawhi Leonard, but my hope is for, really, they say tonight Kevin Durant makes his return back to the Phoenix Suns. They play tonight at 10 o'clock. And I think that, you know, he's the kind of guy that can fit in anywhere. If he can, I think there's 4, 5 or 6 games left in the NBA at most. And if they can get Kevin Durant to be himself, then I would go with Phoenix Suns as the stronghold. But you never know, because every game's going to come down to it. Even the Phoenix, I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves are playing well. And the Sacramento Kings have totally shocked me. But Mike Brown is the coach who used to coach LeBron James in Cleveland, won a championship with them. So I just think this the parity in the West is going to – everybody's going to end up beaten. Somebody's going to get beat up and be too tired to play the next series.
Yeah, I would enjoy being one of the Eastern Conference teams in the first round. I think you have if you're the number one seed, at least you don't have to play Philly or Boston twice. You know Philly and Boston as a 2 and 3 seed. They after they get out of the first round, they got to play each other, beat each other up, and then play Milwaukee. Whereas Milwaukee will have to play probably Cleveland or New York, and coming out. And may not, and they should handle both of those teams pretty easily, all being equal. I think they come out a little bit healthier and stronger if that's the way the seeding broke down. But if that switches, it's going to be bad for whoever the 2 or 3 seed is, because you're going to have to go through somebody that could potentially win the championship to get to the championship, and you got to then play somebody else that has a chance to be a championship winner. It's just a hard road as a 2 or 3 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely. But I am still hoping the Knicks can put it together toward the end of the season and maybe move up to 4, because that would help them, because they're a little bit behind the Cavaliers. And the Knicks are playing well. The only thing that worries me about is Thibodeau, the coach of the Knicks, works people too hard. And I hate to say that from an athlete standpoint, because every athlete needs rest. I always thought, even myself, when I play running back, I need to rest sometimes. Saquon Barkley needs rest. So if the coach of the Knicks doesn't wear them out, they should go into the playoffs happy and well-rested. So we'll have to see about that one.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens in the next 2 weeks. Can't wait to see how the next 2 weeks play out. And it's going to be exciting. The NBA is bringing excitement back to the game of basketball. And this play-in playoffs is probably the best thing that could have ever happened to the NBA.
Well, I think the NBA, the way they do things, the way they schedule things, the way they do things, even at the All-Star break, everybody got a week off. They even went longer. And what they did was played probably, I guess, a good 65, 70% of their games before the All-Star break. And they just have a few coming down the stretch. So I like the way the NBA does. And I think we're in for a fantastic spring and a summer. And I think that they're going to really surprise a lot of us by, you know, who wins this, because really we don't know at this point.
That's right. That's right. No, it's going to be exciting. Can't wait. And hey, next 2 weeks, let's see if Joel Embiid can pull away with the MVP race.
You're listening to Billy Taylor and Charles Way, the two running backs. We call it the Express Way. Charles, show me the way. Billy, the BT Express. And we do this every single week, having fun in the world of sports. And we implemented the fourth quarter for the NBA basketball. And then later on, maybe next week or something, we'll implement some more things. So every week, something is different here on the Expressway. I want to thank Ben back in the studio. Ben's new to us, but he did an outstanding job. Helped us out. Thank you very much, Ben. And for Charles, show me the way. Cool man, show me the way. I'm Billy Taylor. Ladies and gentlemen, have a nice evening. And thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.